Okay. Susan says that we're recording, so we're going to go ahead and get started. It's time, and we're going to be pushing our time in order to be ready for the next meeting. I'd like to call to order the special task force meeting. It's at 1:12 in the afternoon on the July 20th date, so we keep that straight for the record. A couple of things that I need to review with you task force members for housekeeping purposes and procedures. How many of you have looked at the minutes of this meeting, which were quite brief? Okay. Then I would ask, as chairman, then for an approval and a second for those minutes.
I'll move. Second.
Thank you.
Lynn Stedman.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Seconded.
Thank you.
Today's meeting at 2:00 will have several different items that we feel to be a part of the record. One of those, so far as we can discover, with my son's help, Austin, trying to get all of the records that we can from Tetra Tech, we find no evidence that they had any data concerning CAFOs. In other words, they looked at the aerial maps, and if they saw a CAFO, then they designated it. And if they didn't see it, if it was a small enough one, which they did down in Twin Falls, they run over the top of them, and they made some mistakes along the way. We thought that they should know which were permitted CAFOs, and we had mentioned this to them quite some time ago, but it is not, so far, a matter of this record, which will need to be accomplished in the next meeting. If Tetra Tech comes with the proper information, which we've requested, we believe that we will find that they did it all by the naked eye. Now, that is important to become part of the record based off of their information, not just ours, but it makes us, I guess in a way, feel like it is possible that we've been out there to Elba, Alamo, and the State Line Project, and we haven't done much different than what they did. And we hope that we can treat this situation better when we go out there with more database and be more thorough. So we will try and accomplish that in the next meeting. Another thing I need to mention with you is the scheduling. We have several different meetings starting after this one. Then most of you have probably seen this on the emails, that Stone out there in Oneida County, which is just 5 miles north of Snowville, requested us to come out and work on their line for those sake of the Oneida people, and the Oneida commissioners are supposed to be there tonight. That's Arbon Valley tonight. I'm getting mixed up. Arbon Valley's tonight. Stone is tomorrow at 1:00. And so tonight, we take off after this meeting. We'll go to Arbon Valley. Ken Estep will be conducting that meeting. And we're going to do our best to present the multiple transmission lines for Power County so Arbon Valley has knowledge that there is more than one line being permitted is our objective there. I don't want to start too much of a battle, but they, so far as we know, unless you, Doug Balfour, inform me differently, do they know that there's multiple lines coming there?
I'm not sure what Arbon Valley knows.
Okay, well, we'll try and get the thing straight. As you know, there's a difference of opinion between Arbon Valley and Rockland being irrigated and not irrigated. Arbon is non-irrigated. They want to proceed. They feel like, and some of them have been offered a lot of money to get them to cave, and they're interested. And so Rockland is not, because they're irrigated. They are more mindset of what we are in this valley. So irrigation seems to be the dividing point of where you want to be interested in this project or not, it seems. Any of you interested to go in any of this scheduling so far tonight, tomorrow at 1:00, and then 7:00 is at Power County, that's American Falls High School. Can we do any correlating on task force members? Any of you interested to go to any of that? Lynn?
I'll go tomorrow at Power County.
In the evening?
Either one.
Representative Wood?
Brent, Scott and I will be at the meeting tonight, at the Stone meeting tomorrow, and at the meeting in Power County tomorrow.
Okay, thank you for being able to go. We appreciate that. You representatives makes a big difference. Kay?
On this schedule off the internet, it says 11 a.m. That's coming. Is that not?
That's a departing time. Okay. Stone's actually at 1:00.
Okay.
And so we're trying to leave here if you're interested in going, but basically, it's going to be an all-day project by the time we jump through all the hurdles. So that was a departure time. 1:00 is the actual time in Stone.
If our schedule works out, just give you a holler.
Yeah, and you folks at that end might make more sense. You just meet us there if you can, or whatever works out for you. And we know that you can't make all the meetings, so do your very best, and it's kind of an aggressive week. Vaughn and Kent are planning on going with me, and we'll try and pool up and go. Dave Nebaker's going to meet us at Power County to help with that presentation. It'll be similar to our June 1st meeting at the King Fine Arts Center. Basically, there's more than one line coming. This is what it looks like. That's what we're trying to do at these places, basically. And then Oneida wants to work on the line, which we hope to get to today. Now, one more meeting before I leave this subject. There's a meeting on Wednesday of this week. It's called the NTTG Joint Committee Meeting, which means that it's an Idaho Power Transmission Planning Meeting with the IPUC conducting it at the auditorium at the Idaho Power Company. I am unable to make that. I have made a call to our fellow that's been helping us out of Boise, who is our lobbyist up there. He is going to try and attend that. But if any of you are interested and you happen to be in Boise for some other reason, that's this Wednesday, beginning, I think, at 10 a.m., and I have not confirmed that yet, but at the Idaho Power Building, at their auditorium. If any of you want to know more, look at me up afterwards. There's an address, so that takes care of meetings. We want to jump.
Just for information, I don't know if you have to attend the meeting, but we've got that Thursday meeting with the commissioners from the various counties.
That's a good point, and I had just about forgotten being reminded of the Thursday meeting.
Which I think is tremendously important.
Al, could you come up and put on the record time, date, and place? Because I don't even know that, because they told us, the word was, is they wanted room to move, and I didn't want to overflood them, so I want you to go on record as to what you want to have happen.
It's going to be Thursday at 11:30 at Connors, and I don't think we need a bunch of people there. I think you need to be there, or a couple of you need to be there that are prepared for input, and just kind of set back in case they have questions. I think it could be a very interesting meeting.
It'll be pivotal. It'll be very
important. A horribly important meeting, and so I just wanted everybody to be aware we're going to go forward with that, and we'll cover it. But if somebody from this group, I think just one or two, would be there just to kind of make sure we don't get off track on what's available and what we can do.
Is Power County planning on that? Okay.
We are.
We got Oneida, Twin, Power. I think we've heard from Oneida. Who else did we hear from?
Hawaii. I thought we had five.
Hawaii? Did we hear from him? No, Twin Falls for sure.
Bannock, I think.
I think there's five that are committed.
Five
Idaho counties.
Are the two Nevada and Utah counties?
We sent one that way. I think Box Elder's coming, aren't they?
I have not heard that information.
I've heard that, but I haven't heard anything from Nevada. But anyway, I just wanted you to be aware that that's moving forward, and we feel like we've really got to make some headway in that meeting to go forward with our ordinances. And
are you sure that we don't need to be set up for visual?
Why don't you talk to Kerry and see what he's the one that's been coordinating that meeting, see what he would like. It might be well.
Okay, for your information, yes, Nevada was invited. Kerry McMurray was asking me about siting authority, so he wanted the state siting authority, and he wanted Elko County there. Those invitations have been made, but whether they're coming, I don't know. But it would be best if they all were. It would be hard to proceed with making any assumptions there. So, Professor Trenderwood.
Senator Darrington's out of state all week, so we'll not be able to make any of these. If you want Scott and I at any of those, let us know sooner rather than later, because we may have some stuff on Wednesday and Thursday, but it's probably not anything that couldn't be canceled if, in fact, you want us at any of those other meetings.
What's your take, Al, on the Thursday meeting?
I don't know that that would be necessary. I think the real key there is just to get, unless you feel like you can help coordinate some of the counties that you're involved with, because the key is to find a common ground for the various counties. And I guess when we're meeting the other day, we weren't sure that there was.
You guys talk about it, let us know.
Okay. Vaughn.
What about your Jerome and Gooding meetings?
Thank you. I didn't have them posted with me. We do have a conflict on Tuesday night with Jerome and American Falls. I have suggested to Doug Pickett to split off the task force and go to Jerome. Now, thing of it is I don't know whether Jerome was ever even invited to this meeting on Thursday. I think we need to inform them about what's going on, but it is not crucial whether they accept or reject the plan. And then the next night is Gooding as well on Wednesday night. And I guess that's up for debate. You task force members, I think it would be good to go, but I'd have to depend on Doug Pickett and some of you others to be able to split up and get it covered because we're in American Falls. What do you think, Doug?
I can get Tuesday fine. Wednesday's going to be more of a challenge.
Okay.
Tuesday's, I'll be there Tuesday.
Okay. What do you think, Al? Should we inform these other counties what we're up to, don't you think?
What's the reason for the meetings in Jerome and Gooding?
Idaho Power is sponsoring the meetings. It's their schedules. That's what we've done in the past. That's how I got Twin Falls involved, is I just attended the meeting. I didn't rile things up. I just told them the information, and this is the result.
Well, if somebody doesn't show, they'll get a different picture.
Yes, they will. So
I don't think it's a harm to tell them what we're doing. I think it's good to tell them. I don't think they need to be involved in our first meeting anyway. I just think because that needs to be the folks to actually make the decision. So I don't think it hurts to, I think it really would help
to
inform them of what's going on.
Dave Beck, I'm going to put you on the spot. I had John Buchers call me this morning and met with Louis Bentoncourt. Louis's going to hang on to that Cedar Hills and not let loose of that until we correspond with him. And John was willing to do that, and there's some work down there in Twin Falls. To me, I think you're in a spot of influence if you'd be willing to go with Doug Pickett to at least Jerome. I don't know about Gooding, but that would be my personal preference if you're willing.
Tomorrow night. And John used to live in. John used to live in Gooding County. It would help at all? I don't know.
Duker, he doesn't want to go.
He's trying, but he can't make it today. He's got another canal meeting and some other things, and we'll see. But I guess as a backup, I don't want Doug to go by himself if he doesn't have to. Anyway, see what you could do to check on that between John Buchers and you and Doug Pickett. See if we can work on that. So I'll leave you guys to work about that. Now, on to some more important things that we need to cover. Today, Tetra Tech was supposed to come with more information about sage-grouse leks and the state line things that we've been negotiating. Austin and myself and Joyce Ward called me with a fair amount of concerns over the weekend. Now, I'm here to tell you that meeting out there wouldn't have happened with the amount of people without Joyce Ward. But because she was in here serving on the P&Z board, she ended up in a conflict, and she doesn't know this information. And she was scared that she had steered your valley wrong and didn't want to be wrong. And the reason that is because she listened to our testimony in this meeting right here. She spent all day Friday listening to the testimony, and by the time Representative Wood had stood up and said, "You guys aren't any better than Idaho Power if you're going to go out there and ram it down their throat without notifying them," and he put us straight about what we needed to be doing. That very night, we started calls, and the very next day, and then the following day, 2 days later, that's Wednesday, that statement by Representative Wood, if you were here, was on Monday. By Wednesday, we had a federal lands meeting inviting all those people, and we moved as hard as we could. Well, Joyce didn't know all of this. And what really spooked her is the irrigation thing. She said to me, if you guys don't want it, how come we want it out there? And she's right. But I informed her that we were trying to avoid all irrigation properties, all homes, and it was going to take some doing. Now, if Joyce Ward and a few others were to side with that and grow cold with that idea, this thing is going to come unraveled faster than we put it together, I can tell you that. And so we need to be conscious about what we're doing here and keep people informed. And we will try and catch up with Joyce. She's down in Utah, some tests right now, and we can't get with her until later in the week. And Ted Higley, we've been drawing lines to try and avoid Granite Pass, and we feel like maybe we're doing the same thing in your regard as Joyce, because we're doing things on an assumption. And so there's a couple of things I want to do in the next few minutes. I want to get through roadless issues with Scott Nanningay and the Forest Service, if we can possibly do it. And I want to get through your end of the valley by Granite Pass, because that's a concern to City Rocks. And then we're going to come back over later when Tetra Tech comes with their sage-grouse information, and we'll rehash this thing when we get that information. Can you pop up the line, and let's go through that. And while you're finding your place through Granite Pass, and it's going to affect what's being thought about here, okay? Let's see if we're headed the right direction. Scott,
you want Granite Pass?
I want Granite Pass. Scott, if you're ready on Black Pine, then we'll move to it next, and we'll talk about those roadless issues. So let's talk about Granite Pass right now for just a few minutes while you're preparing, and we'll try and see what we can learn here.
Can we kill a few of these lights on the back side here?
Yeah.
You want to get them?
You want to kill four lights if you need, but
that works.
It's up to you. Okay. Austin, why don't you zip through it and you narrate it the way you put it together. I'm going to move this over there so it gets you on the record.
Go for it.
Okay. Here, you hold it for him, Ken.
How far back do you want me to go on the line? Back to City Rocks?
Yeah, I want you to show them how you've hidden it, or what we think is hidden, and okay. What it's going to do.
Okay, so there are a lot of lines up here, but this is the primary one we're thinking about. I don't know if you can see the cursor.
Is it green?
The green, it starts out green, goes to this white line here. This one in the middle is the one that Tetra Tech drew a couple weeks ago, but it was just a rough sketch. We think we should bring it more south and come on this side of these hills right here, to hide the line from the viewshed of Twin Sisters, which is right here. We tested it, and you can't see this line from Twin Sisters if it's behind these hills. And then we have different options. One is to go south of Granite Pass, but that involves Utah. But we drew up a line. Wallace from the City of Rocks said, if we come out of these mountains here and then go north as soon as we can and just miss the park, and head up this way, and then get around to the Cedar Hill Station. He said that would probably be okay with him and the agencies that would be involved with that viewshed for the Granite Pass, which is right here. And so, mostly we would just cut straight north across where the old school is, and Ernest Bueller's Ranch, and Rick Robinson's place. I'd probably go up through this canyon, but I don't know the area, and Mr. Higley showed me where the Bueller's Ranch was, so we could dodge that. And
it's Bueller's.
Bueller's Ranch. So that's the line we have as a suggestion right now. We might not go all the way out and around like this, depending on the roadless issues, but we don't have that map loaded on Google Earth. We might try to cut straighter through here. But I don't have the map for where the roadless areas are.
You have, Scott Nanningay, we have a map that has a narrow little gap between these two areas. Somewhere there's a road in there, and we can't figure out where it's at.
Two areas are you looking at? At Elba Pass?
No.
No.
No. South Hills. What's the proper name for it?
Bostetter
area. But I think on your maps, can you load that 216 and... can't remember the number, 385. Anyway, this is proving to be a challenge, and I don't know what Ted Higley and you folks out there, I can see that we're going to have to really work this over, and it's going to take some doing. Now, if we can't do it in a large group, we're going to have to get Tetra Tech and somebody else to go with you guys before or after this meeting, but somehow we got to get through those issues. And I thought Black Pine was tough, but right... where's your pointer there, Dave?
Has there been any consideration of the wind farm that they want to put up in the area?
In China Mountain?
And then? Isn't there a proposal for a wind farm in that area somewhere?
Doug, you'd have to address that.
I don't think there's any definitive proposal yet that I'm aware of. There's some anemometer towers out there that collect the data, but that's all that I'm aware of.
There's actually a proposed project out there. They made application.
Okay.
Okay, we need that a matter of record. That came from Heber.
Yeah, and I didn't get it.
Can you guys come up and set the record straight for that, please?
Property
that's on. Heber, Doug, I need it on the record. Susan hasn't got it. Please.
I don't know the particulars.
Well, come up and tell us what you do know, because the record, I've got to get it straight, or we'll have a tough time putting it together, right?
Heber Carpenter from Elba. There's a proposed wind project out on Lynn Mountain. I don't know whose property. They have acquired leases. I believe a lot of it was on the old Simper place, but it's an organization called Wasatch Wind, and I think it's around 100 megawatt project.
Okay, thank you for that information.
I can speak to where the anemometer towers are.
Come on out and let's set it straight. We need all this as much as we can on the record. It's
what is it?
Anemometer.
This is Doug Pickett. The anemometer towers are, there's one that's been located on Simplot property, and another one that's been located, or is located currently on property belonging to American Stone, Lon Thomas, Salt Lake City.
Thank you. Okay, this, we might not make it today, but we're going to go as far as we can. Here it is, Scott Nanningay. We think there's a road through there, and I don't know how that overlays, and I guess when Tetra Tech comes...
I've got a map, let me just...
Okay, come on up.
Let's actually, I brought a map too.
Grant, while you look at that, the reason I brought that up, I don't know if it'd be advantage.
Ted, we're going to have to get it on record, which is important. Sorry, I'm going to have to interrupt.
Scrambling. Ted Higley. The reason I brought up the wind farm, and I don't know if it'd be advantage or disadvantage, but if we went through the Narrows and up over Lynn, that wind farm would have the advantage of hooking into that power line, and it might be advantage to idle power to have that access. And also there's talk of more geothermal power in the Raft River area, and they could hook into that line coming through Raft River, so that might be two positive things for this big line, because it sounds like they have extra load capacity on it.
There's a lot of wind farms. In other words, the capacity that Jim Davidson and Jim Bridger coal plants, they told me that there's over 100 wind farms that it could back. And so I know it's an option, but I know it's not their highest priority, because they said there will be wind farms all over the place that they will come in contact with. So I know it's not their highest priority, but for our priorities, your property, Rick Robinson, all these other things that we're talking about, and how it fits in with roadless was the biggest challenge we had today. Go ahead.
Okay. Scott. Well, it looks like, and I wish I had a better map and I'd have to research it. It looks like there's essentially a road width that goes between those two. Doug will know this. You know where the Beaver Dam Pass Road comes across Trapper and goes up? It's the road that goes between those two roadless areas. What I don't know is how narrow or wide the corridor is. My guess is it's probably essentially a road width. And that's the way my map shows, but when you're looking at a small map, it's hard to tell. So the Beaver Dam Pass Road goes between those two, apparently between those two roadless areas. Similar to what Elba Pass has, where you've got that corridor, but it may very well be just a, you know, a 24-foot road width corridor.
There's lots of things there that, until we get the sage-grouse licks and this understood, we're still trying to overcome this area. You call that, is that your official name, Bostetter?
Well, no, that's actually Beaver Dam Pass.
That's what you guys call it?
That's probably as close.
I have a question.
Joe Tugod, Jr. If that pass is 24 feet wide or whatever, is it possible for us to put a span and span the wires over roadless area as long as we don't go into the roadless area?
It's possible. In fact, somebody at the regional office that mentioned that, you know, we've got places where they've put power lines in roadless areas, but they airlifted the towers in and they do their maintenance.
I'm looking at that section 112 right there, and just slightly to the north of that, if we're outside of that 24-foot corridor, let's say, I don't know, a quarter mile or something, it still looks like it's quite possible to put a span there that would have towers outside of the roadless area, just the wires would cross over. That's possible.
That's possible. The issue I'm looking at is, this is all a lot of speculation. Until I have something firm to actually look at, what are we going to do? I mean, a lot of things are possible. The main thing is roads and road construction, reconstruction in inventory roadless areas can't happen. Outside of that, we'd have to actually take a hard look at the proposal and see if it would work or not, which is something that if it moves forward, would be on.
We don't have a scale on this map, do we?
Okay. And there's a little bit better. Unfortunately, it's kind of the same problem. What it shows is here's the Beaver Dam path between those two. So whether
this has a scale, though.
Right. But whether, yeah, but whether that is just to show that the road goes between them, it from that scale, it could be 16 feet wide. It could be 150 feet wide. My guess is they go right to each other to the edge of the road. Probably why they map it that way, you could have a road going through the roadless area.
I want you to move over while you're there to Black Pines and hang in here a minute, Scott, and let's try and cover Black Pines. Just a minute.
For your information, while we're catching up, yep, last week's meeting, Walt George was in the back of the room and he said, if we got a consensus of all of those counties in Idaho that the majority want to do that, and Utah and Nevada consent to this project, then after Thursday's meeting, if that becomes the confirmation and the consensus out of that meeting, then he would direct Tetra Tech as the lead agency to do full-blown engineering and research on that. Until that point, he's not going to. Therefore, Scott Nanningay and us are left lurching without complete information to accomplish that. But if Thursday's meeting goes well, then we could have Tetra Tech's help to accomplish some of this. That's the reason we're coming up short right now. So Thursday's meeting is going to become important to get this to succeed. The other wild card is, even with Tetra Tech's help, if Idaho Power says we got to start NEPA over, this whole process of NEPA, if we jump into Utah or Nevada, and the thing that will trigger that is if Idaho or if Nevada and Utah, any one of those, barks, anybody complains, you could pull the trigger for NEPA to start over. Idaho Power is very fearful of that, and rightfully so, I guess. And so some of these lines, we're talking about the concept by Austin trying to work this, was the corridor was wide enough that the later lines could come in and go to mostly Utah and Nevada. The first line right now, the one we're talking about, Gateway West, is going to have to, if we get faced with this, there is no other alternative, then we're going to have to figure out how to get it through Idaho. Then the roadless issues and all these other things that we're talking about are going to become very important if we can succeed with it. If Walt George makes his determination a week from today, based upon Thursday's meeting, then that helps us a lot. But we're still going to have to talk about these issues to get through them. So it's pertinent either way.
So what's the question on Black Pine?
Black Pine has several roads in a roadless area.
Mm-hmm.
You have issued us a map. This was the map, Austin. That was the map. Disaster. That has designated roads. The designated roads can stay.
Correct.
You can't build any more new roads.
And you can't reconstruct what is there.
Can't touch it.
Unless there was a resource issue, a culvert blew out or something eroded, you could. But if you're going to reconstruct it for some other improvement, you couldn't.
Okay. Okay, so the issue ends up being with the existing roads, which there are many in Black Pine, could Idaho Power build their line with the existing roads and still qualify in your roadless requirements? Because the line itself is permitted, it's just the construction and the road building that is in question.
I guess, you know, the question would be, is the power line actually going to go across roadless? Yeah. And again, we're speculating.
According to Idaho Power, if they were to make the decision Friday, they will say that we want to stay in Idaho because we're too fearful that NEPA will have to be triggered over.
Okay. The issue you're going to get into, again, if someone walked in my office with the proposal and said, we want to build a power line across this roadless area, I would probably say, you need to look somewhere else. It's probably not compliant. Now, you could probably work through it. The problem you're going to get into is roadless is more than just roads. If those were essentially areas that at one time were considered, their analysis was done as to whether they met the needs or the requirements for wilderness. So then you've got to do an analysis of that power line and how it's affecting the roadless and potential wilderness qualities of that roadless area. And so I'm not saying it can't happen, but I wouldn't hang my hat on it. It's just, without having a proposal of exactly where the line's going to go, if there's a power line in a roadless area, that may not be compliant with the designation. And this actually, this shows a little bit better. You can see the road. There's about a quarter mile of that road that goes across it, and the rest of it loops down into Utah on the BLM.
We may have to reference that a little bit later. We might have to break up to get this accomplished, but I want you to understand all of the issues as a task force that it's not going to be an easy one to try and get through there properly, I guess. So, Ted, I'm going to go back to you to try and conclude this task force meeting. As a task force member, what's your thoughts in trying to look at that line the way it's drawn in?
Well, I guess I'm probably not in favor of it.
Okay, come on up. Let's get it on record.
Ted Higley, concerning the line going through the Junction Valley, taken off up past the Moulton Schoolhouse. It go directly through my place and up to Rick Robinson's, over the hill to, I'm not sure who's on the other side. We have basically irrigated meadows and crested wheat there, and it looked like it'd go right up through my meadows. One power line may not be a problem, but if you have four or five through there, it's also in an area that could be developed according with the City of Rocks for summer homes or something like that. It would be pretty detrimental to that piece of ground. And I don't know.
That's some of the area that we need to know. And I guess if we can figure out a way to get around it, we would. But I'm not sure at this point, without having all the information, whether we can at this point.
Is that suitable for the Park Service? When we was with them the other day on top of the hill there looking at Granite Pass, they didn't like the line going through Granite Pass, but this would come
north
across the whole valley and be basically right in front of Granite Pass and
right
more
here,
visible.
Where if you were to look out the south end of, can you move over just a little bit in the, right there. I believe we stopped somewhere right in here, did we not? We took a look. Right here we stopped at Twin Sisters.
Uh-huh.
And then we stopped down here to take a look somewhere at the peak of this thing, didn't we?
Yeah.
And on the trail convergence.
Trail convergence?
Mm-hmm.
Right here?
Yeah.
Okay. When we look down through there and you see off the Granite Pass out here, it was mentioned for those in Wallace Keck's vehicle that if it had to be seen, it should be seen very little, and it should be not parallel but perpendicular to the view shed. In other words, when you look from this area down to Granite Pass, you would see one span possibly, but it would be very little, was what the comment was made.
Yeah.
And so until we know the roadless issues and whether Utah becomes a possibility, this is one option that I guess we're tossing around in hopes. It would always be our hope that we could go to Utah, but that may not prove to be the case. So I guess I'm throwing out all of the things of the information that we have presently, and it's not all what everybody would like. And we knew that we would end up ultimately boiled down to this. There was no way to make everybody happy. So I'm being up front. We got some issues here, and it's going to take a lot of work before we're done.
Yeah, I like the proposal a little south. of Granite Pass and over better than this one. I guess it comes down to personal preference on all of it when you get right down to it.
If Walt George were to confirm that NEPA would not be triggered, I think we'd have a lot more options. But with that hanging over our head, it's very limiting as to what could be done. Do you need to talk before, Doug?
Well,
tell them who you are then.
Austin Stuber. Person on the computer. Anyway,
the line that would go north just next to the City of Rocks would probably only be for Idaho Power's line, the Gateway West, and the corridor would hopefully go through Utah. And so the hope would be there would be one line at most if it came down to that. And Idaho Power only gets that because they've already started the NEPA process and want to start it over. But anyone else who wants to come through has to start from scratch in the NEPA process and could go through Utah. The idea is not to put all the corridor there, just enough to not restart NEPA for Idaho Power.
Hi. Doug Pickett here. I just, and I'm good with the south route in Utah if that's what it comes to, but are we forgetting about the as far as the viewshed concerns? I don't see much difference between the Green Line and the one that crosses just north of the Buehler's Ranch. To me, it seems like, as far as the viewshed concerns, that's going to be a trade-off. And my main concern with the Green Line is what we're not seeing on the map on further north.
True. There is problems there, and that's the reason I pointed out the roadless issues, how to get that weeded back over there. So, like I've said before this process is over, some of us are going to gain a little empathy for Idaho Power engineers to get through with this. You can see what's happening here. We got a lot of issues to deal with. So, I would, if it becomes necessary, depending on the outcome of today with Tetra Tech showing up, we will do as much as we can with him, but until Thursday's meeting's over with, we are not at free rein to grab Tetra Tech at our beckoning call. I wish it were, but it's not going to be until we get a consensus, hopefully, on Thursday. So you're going to have to be patient with this while we work on the limiting factors that we do have. Any other questions that you think are pertinent for this point in time before we go into 2 o'clock and officially hear from Idaho Power? Vaughn, come on up.
Vaughn Gibby, I just continued on with Doug's proposal. What other constraints do we have if we go south of Buehler's Ranch and on over? What other?
It's not Buehler's, it's Buehler's.
Buehler's.
We'll get that on the record.
All right. Buehler's. Thank you, you natives. Help us now. All right. So what is there some other constraints when we go almost south and then we go west from there? Doug,
Utah.
Is that Utah then?
Nevada.
No,
that's over
there. I thought we were still north of the line. We're not.
Can you show them, Austin?
This gray line right here runs right. This gray line runs almost through the bottom of Granite Pass. So if you're anywhere south of Granite Pass, you're in Nevada and Utah area right here. This is the line. And so, So if you want, maybe we can.
Well, I was thinking we was to the south of Buehler's.
Mm-hmm. Buehler's Ranch here. This is Buehler's Ranch.
And then come straight across there, where your line is.
This red line?
No, the white one.
This one?
No.
This one?
Right there, yes.
Okay, if it looks like from this map that Granite Pass is about right here. And so if we come... This roadless would be the main concern with that, where we would end up crossing that. And without having that loaded on the same map, we can't see exactly where it ends. If Granite Pass were somewhere over here, and we could get across and then up, that'd be great. But I don't know if we can. I'm not exactly sure where Granite Pass falls on this line.
It's to the right there.
Somewhere here?
A little bit more.
Okay.
Directly south of that 29, it's in that area.
Oh, it's clear over here? Mm-hmm. Okay, that would make things easier. So.
Okay.
Thank you. We hope to be able to get that. And I you might have to hold the thought. I don't know if it's all going to happen today. So it may be till another time until we see with the proceedings of Thursday's meeting to get full engineering disclosure. I guess any other matters that you think are crucial before we start in? If not, then we'll go ahead and dismiss, and we'll wait for Idaho Power and set up for the next meeting then. Thank you. Yeah, I guess we should, huh? I need a motion to adjourn. I have to be proper. Ken made the motion. Thank you.